He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring, he shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall be the righteous one my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The opportunity to stop just once a year, it seems like, to meditate on the cross of Christ. And that's what we're doing tonight, is taking an hour out of our week, out of our year, to meditate on the cross of Christ, on the day that we remember that Christ was crucified. Earlier today, as I was praying in preparation to share a meditation, my prayer went something like this: Lord, may I do justice to the cross of Christ. And then I laughed at that arrogance, as if I, in 15 minutes, am going to do justice to the cross of Christ. Realistically, what I'm going to do over the next 15 minutes is stop. Help us to think a little bit, share a reflection, and share what the cross has meant to me really over the past 10 years, how it has changed my own thinking and begun to give me a picture of what life can be like when I walk in light of the cross. It really begins with this. It begins with a phrase. There's a particular phrase that Jesus said from the cross that has impacted me more than anything else in the Bible. I started reading the Bible pretty regularly as a teenager. I studied the Bible at the highest levels that you possibly could, to an extent. But it's one phrase that I come back to again and again that is transformative to my own understanding. It's the phrase, "It is finished." The last thing that Jesus said from the cross, according to the Gospel of John. And here's what I found. I found that "it is finished" changes everything. But it's really hard to hold on to. It's hard to put people into two categories, but I'm going to do that. There's two categories of people, right? There's two categories of people. One is that some of us fall into the more modern approach, which is the road of relativism and individualism and self-discovery. And this is kind of ingrained in us. We're Americans. No one should tell me what to do. No one should tell me what's right or wrong. And that is a path of self-discovery. In that path, ultimately, you may not believe in God, but the reality is you're bowing to something. But what you're bowing to as the highest order is yourself. And whatever salvation you're after, you're going to find on your own. And in that way of thinking, it's hard for somebody to come up here and talk about the Bible and any understanding of sin or where we do wrong, because who's to say what's right or wrong? And so ultimately, it's hard to make sense of the cross, because the cross puts sin and our sin at the front and center. And so the reality is, if that's where you are tonight, I'm going to fail you miserably, because I don't have the time or the brain power to engage a discussion that would be meaningful. The second kind of person is one that I'm going to talk to more tonight, and it's because it's one that I've walked in, and it's the road of the traditionalist. It's the road of morality and religion. It's the understanding that our performance in life, following the rules or not following them, is the basis of our acceptance and our assurance before God. The reality is that those of us who walk in that path often struggle with insecurity, because we're never quite sure if our life measures up. And I found that when we come from that perspective of performance-based, that it's just really hard to believe that the cross is enough. There's got to be more that I have to do. Now, I've found that when I look back at my life, I believed in Jesus as a little kid. And as I was growing up as a teenager, I realized that I said I believed the gospel, that Jesus died for my sins. But here's the way I lived it out. I was superior in a lot of areas. If I found that I was doing really well in some religious area, like attendance at church and Christian functions, my knowledge of Christian doctrine, my understanding of the Bible, I felt superior to fellow Christians who weren't quite as dedicated, who didn't show up as often, who didn't have as much memorized. That superiority and judgmentalness was because I was really a performance-based Christian. The funny thing is, the same side of me that was driven to superiority was also the side of me that was driven to inferiority. Because inevitably, there were some areas that I did well at and other areas that I didn't do so well at. Each of us has sins that we fall into again and again, thought life, actions, struggles. And I found that in those areas, I felt completely guilt-ridden. I could never be sure that God would forgive me again. I don't know if any of you have ever fallen into that pattern of performance-based Christianity. You know that you do if you've ever been the kind of person who listens to a challenging sermon and you have one of two responses. Either you feel completely awful about yourself. You feel like a failure. You feel completely guilty when you hear a challenging sermon because you know that you don't measure up. Or you quickly think about who you'd like to send the sermon to, because there is somebody that really needs to hear this message. Both inferiority and superiority have a verbal claim to believe in the gospel, but it's not actually playing out in our lives. And I found that that was the case in my life. I was not applying the truth of the cross of the gospel to my daily living until I began to see the "it is finished" of the gospel. In Isaiah 53, which was just read for us, the prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before Jesus, proclaims that his death on the cross was necessary. He says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, "All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned, every one of us, to our own way. But the Lord God has laid on him, Christ, the iniquity, the sin, the failure of us all." All of our failure and struggle and sin has been laid on Jesus. The Bible says very clearly that each of us falls short, that we all, by our nature, reject God and turn to our own way and are therefore enemies of God, deserving of wrath. That's what it says. But the cross says Jesus has reconciled us to God. He was forsaken and experienced the wrath of God so we don't have to. He died for our sin and paid the debt that we owe. And he freed us from slavery that we all find ourselves in daily to sin and selfishness. When Jesus said, finally, "It is finished," it meant no more needs to be done. Nothing more needs to be done. It is finished. But it's really hard to believe that. I find that in my own life, it's very hard to believe that we are fully and completely saved by what Jesus did. And that's quite frankly because we live in a merit-based society. And that's just the way things are, right? When you get the job done at work, you get to keep your job. If you study, you will get an A. If you can actually make shots in the game, you might make the team. You're going to have friends if you give yourself to them and work at it. We are a merit-based society. And we tend to be merit-based Christians as well. We bring that performance mentality into our Christian faith. And so what I found in my life is that I was saying that I was saved by grace, by the gift of God in Jesus Christ, but I was basing my acceptance before God on my religious activity, my avoidance of sins, or my feelings. Did I feel spiritual that week or not? To the extent that I was doing that, I was failing to trust Christ fully for my acceptance. And quite frankly, I was living as if the cross was not enough. So does this inner dialogue sound familiar? Any of you who have struggled with a traditional performance mentality, this is the inner dialogue I can remember having numerous times. I should be more mature as a Christian than I am right now. Why do I still struggle with the same things that I keep struggling with and I've been struggling with for years? If I really believed in Jesus, wouldn't I be a better person by now? Why do I sometimes doubt or have anxieties? Or, God, if you forgive me this time, I promise I will never, ever do it again. That sort of mentality of beating ourselves up, making promises to God that we can't keep, questioning the amount of our faith and whether it's enough. We might have said, or we might say, we believe that Jesus died for our sins, but we're living as if our life depends upon our performance before God. Welsh preacher Martin Lloyd-Jones talked about it this way. He said, most of us as Christians live as freed slaves who see the master again and we cower in fear. And so the description that he gave was, can you imagine being a freed slave and then emancipation comes along, which means you're no longer a slave. You are an equal man under the law. But as soon as you see your master coming towards you, do you cower in fear? Or do you say, no, I'm equal to this man? The master of sin and death and hell hovers over us. We wonder if we're good enough, if we've done enough. But the reality is, if Jesus died on the cross for us, we are set free. But many of us live our lives like pardoned prisoners who won't leave the cell. What I find is that we often as Christians think, okay, Jesus died for our sins, right? But you have to do some more, don't you? I mean, don't I need to pray and read the Bible if I'm really a Christian? And from the cross, Jesus' answer is, it is finished. And then we argue again, well, what about repeat sins, those ones that I fall into again and again? Don't I need to stop those altogether? And Jesus says, it is finished. I mean, you can't surely mean that you can skip church for a couple weeks in a row and be okay, right? It is finished. It is finished. It is finished, he said. And so I find that I try to forcefully cling to the cross every morning. I remind myself that it is finished, and I need you to remind me, it is finished. That I have no reason for anxiety or worry or fear or doubt. It's not the amount of faith I have, it's the one in whom I have put my faith. It is finished is more true than what I think or feel or observe on any given day. And I find that as I cling to the finished work of Christ on the cross, that I'm actually much more humble. Because the finished work of cross says it doesn't depend on my performance. I am completely dependent upon him. and that humbles me, which makes me more empathetic and loving and less superior and judgmental. As I cling to the finished work of Christ on the cross, I find that I'm also more secure. Because it doesn't depend upon me, my future doesn't depend upon my goodness or performance or my feelings on a given day, I'm less guilt-ridden and less anxious. And when I cling to the finished work of Christ on the cross, I'm more hopeful. Because regardless of my struggles or doubts or failures, or yes, even the powerful thing called feelings, in spite of what those might make me think, my present and my future are determined by what he did in the past. And what he did is finished. Let's pray. Jesus, it was our sin that held you there until it was accomplished. But we rejoice. We live with confidence and hope because we know that it is finished. May we trust in that this night and every night. Amen.
Wilt thou forgive that sin by humans begun? Which was my sin, though it was done before. Wilt thou forgive that sin through which I run? Do run still, though still I do deplore. When thou hast done, thou hast not done.